morning, guys. I try not to make a mess sometimes, but I don't do a great job of that. Good morning and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a fantastic day today. I'm with you guys. I'm here. My one-year-old got a stomach bug this week, and I happened to catch that stomach bug as well this week. So it's been fun. The GHI.
He's just a little guy. How could you catch something like that?
When he pukes on you.
Well, that's true.
So it's hard to avoid it. But the detoxificant, which we will have back in stock, we're supposed to be getting more in very soon. That's the bentonite clay.
Well, that's a flim-flam fairy tale for that manufacturer.
No, not that it works, but getting it in stock.
No, the
it works
product great. Is great.
Yeah, it really helps to suck up viruses as far as in the stomach. And when the GHI cleanse, it'll push you through a little bit better with these stomach bugs that these 1 and 2 year olds catch all the time.
But everything in the mouth at this age.
No, it's ridiculous. It doesn't matter what's on the floor, it goes in the mouth. So, yeah. But hope you guys are staying strong and healthy and enjoying the show. The product of the week will be updating later on this afternoon. I didn't have a chance to update it yesterday, the Ultimate Multiple Capsules. So you guys got one extra day extension on that. So hope you guys enjoy that.
Oh, and that's the reason we played tape yesterday, because also the one up to par.
It was not up to par. I didn't want to be, you know, sick on the show.
If you hurl on this show, it's going to really give you a bad look.
That's not a good look, nor is something I ever do. So, gosh. We're here. We're running. Got a bunch of articles for you guys, a bunch of news stories we're going to be catching up on today. And how are you doing today, my friend? I see you're staying nice and healthy, which is good for you.
I'm always healthy, buddy.
I know you're healthy.
Well, I had that grunge back in the first year.
You don't have three kids running around the house either.
I had that grunge beginning of the year. I don't know what that stuff was. That was some bad stuff. I didn't like that stuff at all. It was awful.
Yeah.
But, oh, by the way, Pete Hegstedt, you know, he had some issues going on. But he's really pro Israel. The problem that he has is he's kind of got a problem with pro drinking alcohol. And there's a big picture of him now. Looks like he's got whiskey or wine bottles. He's sitting there jugging them.
Oh, gosh.
Well, he's the guy that was involved pretty much in charge of that whole thing that happened with the leak, you know, giving out our battle plans. We mentioned that the other day. And so Hegstedt, I think he needs to. He said that no one's ever told him he needs to have therapy done. And I'm like, well, it shouldn't have to tell you that. You should do that yourself.
Usually it's something you kind of self-analyze.
Apparently he saw some more. He says he got some PTSD.
Now, that may be a case.
And so he's like using alcohol to, you know, apparently, by what he's been saying, he's been married like 3 times. He's been using alcohol now to basically, I shouldn't say, self-medicate. And so I think we may have to take a look at him not being the defense secretary any longer. I think he may have to be replaced because he can't be sending that classified information.
No. Yeah, I mean, personal problems are one thing, but as far as if they start falling into that, when you control that kind of information.
Well, if you got a problem with alcohol.
Yeah.
And he kind of was hitting the bottle when he started sending out texts.
That's a good one to send everybody on. CC everybody.
Give me another bottle. Let's go ahead and attack him now. But, yeah, just, I mean, come on, man. Just. Trump may have to take another look at him. So, yeah, by the way, Snow White's producer is saying that the reason the movie has collapsed is because of the star running her mouth.
Oh, talking about Snow White?
Yeah, but you know what's interesting about it? I watched some preview shows on that. I actually hadn't been able to get through that, but I watched some of the stuff on that as far as, you know, the showing how the, you know, how it was, you know, made and some of the out clips and all that. That's really an awful movie. And Gal Gadot has been getting slammed because she said that, well, she's a horrible actress anyhow. And a lot of guys think she's a dude.
I wouldn't be surprised. I know they spent almost $300 million on that movie.
They had tens of thousands of people working on it.
It was a huge film, dude. I mean, I didn't realize it was that big year until I read about it the other day.
Oh, my gosh. It has completely flopped. It's doing like $2 million a day now.
It just opened up.
Not his first week. But I watched the previews on a few of the trailers. And Gal Gadot, everybody said that she stank up the show. She stank it up. She was so bad. And basically the immature Rachel Ziegler is injecting personal politics and it hurt the film. This is the Snow White producer's son is saying this. But I want to say something here real quick. I'm going to read you some of the things he's saying about this. And I'm going to read you the final comment here at the end of this. This is pretty good. It said, the blast zone for the box office bomb that is Snow White continues to spread. John Platt, the actor, son of Snow White producer Mark Platt, called out Rachel Ziegler and said her dragging her personal politics into the middle of promoting the film hurt the movie's release. She actually put on one of her posts, Free Palestine.
I saw that.
Well, now I don't have a problem with that. But the other day you and I were talking as far as her personal beliefs, but don't inject it in a movie thing. here's remember the thing. Tell him what Kurt Russell said.
I think everybody kind of has the same opinion as far as it watches feature films and all that is. I mean, essentially what they are is they're very, 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 very high-paid court jesters, so to speak. And in
the actors.
They're there to make people laugh, to make people cry, to make people excited. It's what the films are for.
Jim Carrey was like that he got started getting into
exactly.
politics.
Exactly. It's entertainment. And so part of that, and it's always kind of been the long-standing is that, you know, you're making $20, $30, $100, $200, $300 million a year in films. Nobody really cares about your personal beliefs. They want you to entertain us. That's what your job is to do.
You are the court jester.
Right. So when you start putting in all these different personal opinions outside of that and telling people what they need to do, who they need to vote for, how they need to think, and you're making hundreds of millions of dollars from those same people supporting you, that's not really good look. It's just not really the place and time. That's just kind of part of being in that film. Your life's different.
She didn't stop there about Free Palestine. She started talking about Trump supporters.
Oh, yeah. Now, that's what I think really got her.
And she was basically saying that, they're really, really, really bad. Now they're calling her a narcissist. And, it's just unbelievable that she attacked Trump supporters on this. It says Variety claims that Ziegler agreed to work with Disney-approved Flax, who would approve Ziegler's Snow White social media post. Months later, the West Side Story star made headlines of the world when she said that anyone who voted for President Donald Trump are part of a deep, deep sickness in our country.
Yeah, I heard that.
Well, guess what? They don't have any deep, deep, deep want to go see her run her mouth.
Nobody has any more money to go see her.
And she said that she wished that they would never know peace. Disney opened last week to worse than projected numbers of 43 million. It's only going up like 1 or 2 million a day. It's nothing. And Jerome Hudson, Breitbart News entertainment editor and author of the book 50 Things They Want You to Know About Trump, basically has written this article. And he basically said that the reality is that they're producing movies that nobody wants to see, that nobody wants to listen to.
That's why Hollywood's in freefall.
And they don't want to be preached to by by the Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan who's doing this. And it's crazy. And see, nobody wants to hear this stuff. You told me yesterday about Kurt Russell. Said that
Kurt Russell said that because they interviewed him one time and they're asking him all his opinions on political stuff. And he goes, I have nothing to say about that. And they started pressing him on this. So what do you mean? You're a very high paid star. You've been around movies for decades. Everybody loves you. And he goes, that's exactly the point. He goes, our job is to be the court jester. It's to entertain people. It's to basically, make people entertained.
He knows his role.
Not to sit there. That's exactly what he said. Not to sit there and interject our beliefs. He said everybody needs to stay in their lane and know their role with their job position. And that's part of being an actor is nobody really wants to hear about that.
The Rock came out and promoted Biden. Remember that? And, man, he lost millions and millions of followers.
Well, perfect example is Tom Cruise back in the day when he started getting way out in the media and started talking about Scientology all the time. And he did that big stunt with Oprah jumping on the couch. And remember, David said he almost became untouchable in the movie industry. Nobody wanted to work with him.
The problem is he had so much money he was able to Bruce his own films.
And then what happened was then he probably changed lines. That's why you don't see him do anything anymore. He doesn't do interviews anymore. He doesn't go out anymore. And
well, he was riled by psychiatric medications in most cases.
No, he was. But he got blackballed too. Though when he started talking about SSRIs.
Well, because he went after the petrochemical pharmaceutical.
Right. Now he realizes it's easier to go make movies and make hundreds of millions of dollars than his gives opinion. So I mean, I can't blame him on that.
And Dr. Naomi Wolf, she used to be a really hardcore liberal. And about 2-3 years ago, I started reading her stuff, and she started coming around.
Yeah.
And now she's saying they tried to kill us. They tried to sterilize us. Dr. Naomi Wolf exposes Pfizer's intentional attack on women and babies. They killed the babies and they knew it. They poisoned the breast milk and they knew it. They lowered the sperm count and they knew it. This is a satanic on a massive level. The fact that they knew they were doing this, in which if you read Pfizer's papers, you cannot conclude otherwise. So Pfizer basically is being really exposed for who they are. Remember, Pharmakia is what it talks about in the book of Revelation twice about how the synagogue of Satan controls the masses and countries through pharmakia. Yep. And so that's exactly what they've been doing with the Prozac and the Zoloft and the SSRIs and all these other chemicals. I mean, this Xanax thing has gotten worse and worse and worse. And we've talked about it repeatedly.
Oh,
when people mix Xanax with alcohol, they turn into a zombie. And it's just the reaction in their brain. And it's sad to me that so many people are involved in, taking these types of drugs. And then they, basically try to function in society and they can't. I'm going to segue back to Hegstead. If he's got a real problem with alcohol, which he apparently does,
yeah.
He needs to get treatment, but he does not need to be Secretary of Defense.
He needs to be handling classified information, especially with war games.
And then nothing happened. No secrets were lost. No soldiers died from this because they dropped a bunch of missiles in the, you know, in the Yemen. But the reality is that, you know, it was a major glitch that guy from the Atlantic got this. And now Trump was pretty upset about it because he wanted to know why Hegseth had the doggone phone number of the guy from the Atlantic in his telephone, because the Atlantic really came out to impeach Trump and everything else. Yep. Trump hates the Atlantic. So there's a, I give it a 50-50 shot right now that Trump asked for his resignation and he quits.
I think it's pretty strong.
It's pretty strong.
And the issue is when you start having stuff like that with the Atlantic and you got the media, when you know the majority of the media is massively compromised and you know what their job is to do is to promote an agenda, to promote a way of thinking, the news is never there anymore to give you information. It's there to tell you what to think, and it's tell you what to do, and it's tell you how to act subliminally, subconsciously.
It's just pure perfect propaganda.
Perfect example, this is a new article that came out. The Washington Post runs a preemptive hit piece on vaccine researcher that's going to be heading the autism study.
Here we go.
Remember I told you RFK Jr. put together a platform now with David Gear, who's a data analyst, and is going to be tapped by the HHS to lead the study on the links between vaccine and autism. Well, the Washington Post published a preemptive hit piece on David Gear. The researchers posted that he'd basically being tapped for this position. They reported that Gear was hired to head the study, quoting anonymous federal health officials who said that Geyer's experience analysis would be he would be the only one analyzing the data. At press time, basically, it hasn't been confirmed that he's headed on it yet. However, the Washington Post is already saying all the stuff he's going to say that's wrong about it. So the Washington Post, which has no credibility, is now saying that this analyst who is supposedly going to be heading the study is already going to be wrong on the research before he even releases the research.
Well, because they have to say that.
This is what it does. It's called planting seeds of doubt. What they're doing is before you even know what he's going to say, before the research is even done, they're already telling you how to think and what to think about this research that he's going to be published that he hasn't even started yet. That is the control that these mainstream media have. And it goes on to say here is that the media has described him already as a vaccine skeptic, and he has, I quote, long promoted false claims about the connection between immunization and autism. So what they're doing now here is it doesn't matter what Gear comes out with. It doesn't matter the data that he shows. It doesn't matter how accurate it is. They're already saying he's going to be wrong about it before he even publishes it, so they can already have the seed planted. And it reminds me of that one movie, Inception, with Leonardo DiCaprio. Kind of a weird film. They talk about going into different aspects of psychology in a dream inside of another dream, and how they were going in and they were planting seeds inside of people's minds and thoughts. They never told them what to actually do, but they planted seeds of doubt and chaos and different ideas, and then they basically sit there and feed them with more information, and all of a sudden that seed turns into an idea that turns into action. Very interesting film, pretty wild, but this is exactly what, in the deep aspect of psychology, this mainstream media does.
Well, it's basically pure propaganda and Satanism is all it is.
It's very subliminal.
Well, you got to remember, the Pfizer and the rest of these companies make billions and billions of dollars from childhood vaccines. And they know they cause autism. The studies have proven they cause autism, especially with that MMR shot at 18 months. Now, there are other factors involving autism, and that's what they always do. They bring the other factors in and try to create some type of reasonable doubt.
Yep.
They try to assign blame to something else rather than the vaccines. And it's like a court of law. You know, attorney's job is pretty much just to assign blame to somebody else,
right?
And not have not as a client.
A reasonable doubt.
Create enough reasonable doubt that, hey, I didn't do all of this. You know, it's like this. Remember, you don't remember this, but Reagan got shot back in the 80s. And Al Haig, the Reagan assistant, said after he was assassinated, you know, he was basically Secretary of State. He came out and said, I'm in charge. I'm going to read you this. Most people don't remember this. When President Ronald Reagan was shot on March the 30th, 1981, just a few months, he took office in January, a couple months later, the chaos who ensued behind the scenes of the White House with no real protocol in place for such a situation, everyone involved had to improvise and hope that everything would turn out all right. In an attempt to keep everything calm, Al Haig, Reagan's Secretary of State, committed and said that he was in charge. He was in control while the president was in surgery. Well, what happened to the vice president? Al Haig kind of took charge. Unaware of just how serious the president's condition really was, key officials began to do the best damage control to keep the reporters calm, but the country and the world at large. Now, the reason I bring this up is because of Hegstead. You know, when you have somebody who's Secretary of Defense and they're drunk, that's a cabinet-level position. Yeah. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
You can't have somebody who's got a problem with alcohol in any of these positions. I'm not saying what Al Haig did was right, but what it did, it stabilized everything.
Right.
I'm in charge. The country's not going to go to HE double sticks in the hand basket.
Plan implemented
right.
Now.
Yeah. And so, in the second, of course, George Bush, nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
Okay. But here we have Al Haig coming in saying that. And he said some people got really mad at him because he did this. And I'm like, somebody's got to take charge in a time of crisis.
You've got to have continuity.
Yeah.
And you have to show the rest of the world in a position like that that the United States isn't a bumbling buffoon when there's a crisis.
So what happens if Haig says drunk one time when we have to have some kind of law, some code?
And everybody goes, oh, well, let's go send him a bottle of, some rare scotch and send our phone number with it and tell him if he needs any more to give us a call. I mean, when you got a loose leak like that and you got an open link in the open, chink in the armor, it's a problem.
Well, what I would do if I was Trump, I would be very clear. I'd tell him, I'd call him in and say, here's the deal. You drink again, you're done.
Yeah.
We're going to put you into a 30-day rehab center. Done. You drink again, you're out. Period. And that's what I would do. Because you can't have an alcoholic in a position like that. No. You say, well, you don't know if he's an alcoholic. He just released classified information to the guy at the Atlantic. Bergman, I guess it was.
Yeah.
And, he's going berserk now. And, he's releasing all the information they sent him. Well, that's a pretty big leak. Now, nobody got hurt. Nobody got killed. The plan went as planned. But the reality is that it could have been worse than that. It could have been much worse. It could have been troop information. It could have been, landing zone information. It could have been a helicopter drop in the middle of nowhere information with a bunch of special forces coming in. It could have been a lot of that, and all that would have been released. That's the problem. So this boy's got – somebody's got to tighten something up here really, really quick. And I think Donald Trump's probably going to have to serve somebody's head up on a platter. And, and that could have been just an aide who put that doggone telephone number in there. But why wasn't it double-checked? Remember what Jim Rohn used to always say? He goes, just check it
one more time.
Just check it. You got something this important going out. You better know who you're going to send the telephone numbers for. And why weren't the numbers listed with the person's name beside it? Why didn't somebody see this?
Yeah.
Why is some reporter getting it?
Yeah.
So it's a real, real mess. Unless – I hate to say this. He's super, super pro-Israel. So is Bergman, the reporter from the, this magazine or whatever it was, newspaper.
Yeah.
How do we know he wasn't on an ongoing basis reporting about pro-Israel stuff to this guy who just happened to be on the chat list?
Oh, man.
Think about it, guys. I mean, I'm sure this Bergman guy probably was, he probably was dual Israeli citizen, but I can check that in a second if I find out. Let's go ahead. What's your next story, Austin?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's no question about it. There's some weird stuff going on with it as well. Now, also, too, new study. Scientists petition the FDA to suspend or withdraw RNA COVID vaccines. The petition, which garnered 326 comments, cites evidence that Pfizer and Moderna are unimproved gene therapies and contain DNA plasmids. More and more research, more and more scientists, more and more data is finally coming out about these RNA shots. This is the exact reason why I told everyone when they said we did a 90-day emergency use authorization, basically clinical trial, and now it's approved for the entire world to get injected with. I told everybody, this is not how vaccines work. This is not how pharmaceuticals work. This is not how long-term, drugs that are going to be used with people that essentially can have long-term side effects are ever supposed to be handled. And now, clear enough, we know why they pushed everything and refused to allow anybody to know the truth. According to a press release by Australian firm PJ O'Brien Associates, the petition exposes alarming evidence of synthetic DNA contamination and regulatory failures that affects tens of millions of people worldwide as a public health crisis. The petition stated that Pfizer and Moderna misclassified their RNA products as vaccines instead of gene therapy products.
Unbelievable.
We said this for years. We said it from the beginning, enabling the companies to avoid legally required FDA environmental assessments. The misclassification denied all Americans transparency and informed consent, violated federal law, and rendering approvals void from the start. The petition cites several studies that confirm synthetic DNA in these vaccines at level 6 to 470 times above safety threshold. I'm going to repeat that. The petitions contain citing several studies that confirm synthetic DNA in these vaccines at level 6 to 470 times above safety thresholds. The biologically active DNA detected in vials in human blood carries SV40 simian 40 virus.
We covered this last week.
Linked to cancer and genome instability. They said the petition calls on the FDA to investigate the classification of these shots as non-gene therapy products, conduct independent testing, issue public guidance on the contamination, and pull them off the market until further notice. And golly, you know, it's crazy. It only took, you know, what, 4 years for doctors to start petitioning to have this thing pulled down? I mean, Lepato, her surgeon general down here in Florida, he said beginning of last year, nobody needs to take the COVID shot anymore, period. Do not take it.
We covered this last week that it contains Simian 40. Yep. That's probably the immune suppressant they put in there to reduce the body's ability to fight the reproduction of the COVID vaccine. Yep. I'm sorry, the COVID spike proteins. So we see this stuff and we go, this can't be real. We told you last week this was going on. Yep. Here it is. And so this is a major, major problem. This is Simian 40. It causes brain cancer, breast cancer, and bone cancer. And it was one of the primary things that was used back in the 60s when they gave us the polio live vaccine. It was in there. They gave it to us.
This petition, I mean, has hundreds of global scientists. I mean, I'm talking globally recognized scientists.
Simian 40.
These guys aren't, you know, oh, I worked on a research study in college. These guys, their entire life has been dedicated to research.
They knew how deadly this was. Mm-hmm.
And I think, honestly, what a lot of it is now, too, is a lot of these scientists that have been looking at this now, I think they're all looking at it and they're coming together and they're going, okay, it's a point now. We can't keep acting like we don't know what's going on with the shot. We have to be vocal about it because if this thing falls back on some of these guys and everybody knows that they knew about this and they didn't disclose it.
You know, this really just irritates me really badly is that the media knows this, too, and they're still promoting the shot.
They admitted at the beginning that it was gene therapy. Yep. And then what they did was they went in, they reclassified the naming of it, then they reclassified the definition of a vaccine via the CDC website so they could get this shot under the umbrella of a vaccine because it wasn't. It says right here, the petition notes that the FDA defines gene therapy products as those that intend to modify or manipulate the expression of a gene or to alter the biological properties of living cells for therapeutic use. They came out from the beginning and Pfizer said this is gene therapy, a COVID-19 vaccine. The problem is, guys, those two terms are mutually exclusive. Vaccines and gene therapy are two completely different items. They're not the same. They tried to put them under the same umbrella and say it's a gene therapy vaccine by getting away from the fact that it's not a vaccine, it's gene therapy. But they added the vaccine word to it to make everybody think, oh, it's safe and effective now because everybody's used to
getting vaccines. Well, and the biggest problem that I've got with this, Austin, almost all vaccines now are going to this type of
form. They are. There
so
are.
That, does that mean all vaccines now have SV40 in them that are mRNA vaccines? Probably so. This is a giant eugenics protocol to reduce the population of the planet. That's all this is. They did it back in the 60s. Now they're doing it again with the SV40. I can say everybody needed a double dose. Now here's the other problem with the SV40. It's epigenetically involved also. People who have children, whose children have children, who have grandchildren who are never given SV40, find it basically in their DNA now. It's already incorporated in. This is a really big deal. And that's why I've got a friend of mine right now. He's got a really bad problem with bone cancer. And he got this vaccine back when he was a child. And I'm thinking to myself, my gosh, how many other people that are baby boomers? And again, it goes right back to the fact that they want to make sure they reduce the population of the elderly that are no longer, quote unquote, productive slaves as far as contributing to the economy. And this is what they want to do. And plus, they want to grab their Roth IRAs and grab a 50% inheritance tax from the government. I mean, government's broke. The United States government's broke. I mean, we're seeing that now with Doge. And so we've got a problem. But I want to go back to Goldberg real quick. This is the guy who got the information from Hegstead. And Hegstead called up Benjamin Netanyahu the day he was appointed and gave him and swore to him his allegiance to Israel. I just thought I'd mention this to you, right? So we know there's a direct Israeli tie now with Hegstead. Well, Goldberg, who got the information from Hegstead in this text, I'm reading this from his Wikipedia page, so don't fuss at me. Goldberg, who is Jewish, left college to move to Israel. I'm just reading what it says. He served in the Israeli forces. So Goldberg, who got this information about the attack in Yemen, was basically part of the Israeli Defense Forces. During the first Intifada, as a prison guard at the prison where Palestinian participants arrested and uprising were held, there he met Rafiq Hizag, a Palestinian liberation organization. Hardcore Zionist. I can guarantee you, and I'd bet you $100, only one of you, by the way, not all of you, I bet you $100
Yeah, clarify that.
Be careful what I say.
You're wrong. Ted, where's my $100? I'll give it to you in a store credit.
I bet you $100 he's dual Israeli citizen. Bet you. Because he lived in Israel. He served in the armed forces of Israel. I think you kind of have to be a dual Israeli citizen to do that. Goldberg returned to the United States, began as reporter at the Washington Post. There you go. When in Israel, he worked at the Jerusalem Post. Upon his return to the U.S., he served as the New York bureau chief for the Ford, contributing editor to New York Magazine and the New York Times Magazine. In 2000, he joined the New Yorker. In 2003, the Party of God won the National Magazine Award for Ford. I don't even know what the Party of God is. In 2007, it's probably some Kabbalist organization. Sorry. In 2007, David G. Bradley hired Goldberg to write for The Atlantic. Here we go. Bradley had tried for nearly 2 years to convince him to work for The Atlantic and was finally successful after renting ponies for Goldberg's children. So what you do with a dual Israeli citizen when you want him to post really bad stuff, you rent ponies for his kids. I'm reading Wikipedia here. U.S. government group chat leak in March 2025. Goldberg published an article in the Atlanta stating that members of President Donald's cabinet had inadvertently included him in a signal chat revealed military secrets. So, again, ask yourself a question. How in the world did Goldberg's telephone number get into this Hegstead's telephone, Austin? And why was he basically communicating with a guy who's a left-wing communist rag, dual Israeli citizen, I'm going to say it now, you know, and giving him personal information? It's almost as if he was buddy-buddies with him, wasn't it, Austin?
Yeah.
This same guy, remember, Hegstead called up Benjamin Netanyahu the day he was nominated, but, you know, put in office, swore his allegiance to Israel. This is some weird stuff here going on. It kind of reminds me, and it's reminiscent of the USS Liberty.
Yeah.
Back in 67, when the Israeli Defense Forces put 5,000 rounds of ammunition, including huge mortar shells and a torpedo, into the side of the USS Liberty, trying to precipitate World War III. Watch the video, Sacrificing Liberty. You get a real tension here. Something else is going on here behind the scenes. Somebody has hacked somebody else off. Somebody is wanting Hegstead to get out. And it's interesting to me how he's giving this information and leaking it. And I can pretty much guarantee you that this Goldberg has got affiliation with Mossad.
Yep.
I'm not saying he's Mossad. I'm saying he knows Mossad. If he was in the IDF, I guarantee he knows some Mossad agents. So it's a really weird situation for all of us to be in, to have these people that have this dual citizenship and dual sense of loyalty to other countries in positions of authority in our country, and we have to ask the simple question, who do you serve? Now, I can say this for my house. As for me, in my household, we serve the Most High God, period. Who do these guys serve? Are they serving the God of the Kabbalah? Are they serving, you know, Einstein? Are they serving Israel? Are they serving Benjamin Netanyahu? Why would Hegstead feel he needs to call up the Prime Minister of Israel the day he gets basically put in office to swear his allegiance to Israel? Austin, this is screwed up.
The whole thing's weird. The
whole thing's messed up. I'm gonna drop this topic and start some new stuff. But guys, this is a major, major, major deal here.
Another health topic going on. RFK Jr. just announced today, the information just got released earlier, that they're announcing mass terminations and major restructuring at HHS.
I hope they get rid of it.
He's got to operate it.
They're getting rid of FEMA, by the way.
Yeah, they're getting rid of FEMA. He said approximately a quarter of the staff of the Department of Health and Human Services is being laid off.
Good.
On top of that, they're doing massive restructuring and oversight as far as on what people are actually working on, where the money's going, where they're going to be involving their timelines. He said 28 HHS divisions will become 15 now as they've merged, and that full-time HHS workers will be reduced by about 25%. To 82,000 workers. That's wild. They have over 100,000 employees already. Kenny said the transition will be painful, and we are going to do more with less. He's admitted that. Well, see, and here's the problem. We've seen this so many times. We've talked about this before. I'm not going to go into it more. A lot of times with federal workers and federal jobs and state jobs, you've got an ability, you have an aspect where they get X amount of money every year for payroll. They have X amount of money for stuff. Well, when they start having budget increases, they have to justify their increased budgets and their increased requests for budgets, which means they have to add more staff. Well, in some cases, not all the time, in some cases, they're adding staff that doesn't even need to be there. They could operate with 15 employees in this department. Well, they've got more budget. They've got to make it 20. When they get 20, they've got to ask for more budget next year or two. So they've got to make it 25. So suddenly, instead of 15 employees for a area, a branch, you'd have 25 employees. Well, the workload hasn't increased that much. The data gathering hasn't increased that much. But now you've got everybody having to do half the work. And in some cases, a lot of these people aren't even doing anything. And that's one thing that Elon Musk came out when he brought the thing about Doge, is he said, this is just a pulse check. Please send me 5 things you've worked on this week. Nothing classified, nothing detailed. Just give me an email back on 5 things you've worked this week. Enormous amount of the emails never responded.
You know, you think about that for a second. How pathetic is our federal government that you have to send an email to see if somebody's got a pulse?
Yeah. And that's what he said. He goes, I don't want any detailed information. I don't want any classified. I just want to get an email back. 5 things. Oh, I worked on a spreadsheet. I worked on a sales, spreadsheet. I worked on, profit and loss statement. I contacted certain anything.
I worked on how to get you sued, Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Anything.
And he even said that. He's like, I don't even care what you really write back, what you're working on. Just make it something relevant. Oh, I worked on making sure that I maintain my ability here to keep 40-hour-a-week job. Okay, cool. Pulse check. Nobody started responding. And then all of a sudden you had a bunch of these agents that were heading and said, oh, we don't want anybody to respond to this. Don't respond.
They should have
to
never said that.
No, they should have said that at all, because what it did was it gave all these individuals that weren't doing anything an excuse. And what's happened now is, he even said this, is a lot of these people since COVID have been on remote work. The federal government is one of the only companies, I guess you'd say a corporation, that is still allowing enormous amounts of staff to work remote and never even show up to work.
Well, people need to go to the gym in the morning.
Well, yeah.
People need to go to the gym in the afternoon.
Well, and they got to make sure, because some people, they like to go to the matinee. They like to go to the movies at 2 or 3 in the afternoon.
They need to see a theater presentation.
I can't be restricted with not being able to go to the movies in the afternoon.
And the checking my emails, that pesky stuff, I haven't done that in 5 years.
You do it once a month. Check my email once a month, maybe it's like 2 months, maybe every quarter.
How dare he ask me what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Just send me my $2,000 check every week and shut up.
Yeah. And that's one thing RFK has brought up here too now. And speaking of money and expenses, this has been all over the news now, especially in the automotive world. Trump announces 25% tariffs on imported cars.
So what you tell me now, so if I buy a Volkswagen SUV that costs $40,000, it just now went up to $50,000.
Correct. And they're saying now Porsche is basically bringing a lot of stuff out. Porsche and Mercedes is saying it's going to be a $3.7 billion hit from Trump tariffs on imported cars.
So now if you buy a $200,000 Porsche, it'll be a $250,000 Porsche for all of those guys who have these expensive cars.
Well, no, I was reading this article because everybody in the automotive industry.
That means the used cars are going to go through the roof.
And they said that. They said basically anybody that has these cars now, do not sell them. And apparently what I've been reading, they said the used market is going through the roof right now this week because everybody's trying to buy up used vehicles, higher-end used vehicles, before these tariffs go into place April 2nd. And what's interesting about this, though, is that there hasn't been a lot of reciprocity with the U.S. government in other countries.
Listen to this. The levies threaten to upend the European auto industry's reliance on exports to the lucrative U.S. market. German carmakers are most at risk as they send more vehicles to U.S. than any other country, including many of their higher margin combustion engine models. They have to throw in margin combustion engine models, like the 911 Porsche and Mercedes S-Class.
Shares declined as much as 5% in Frankfurt this week. So everybody's shares are dropping down because they're feeling it that the prices are going to increase. Now, one thing this is going to help stabilize the U.S. automotive market, because now what's going to happen is the price gap between U.S., say, for example, like Corvettes. Now, a $70,000 C8 Corvette MSRP is going to seem like a really good bargain when all of a sudden the European model just went up 25%. It will do that.
It's the crazy part about it is like with Porsche with their 911 car. The reason I'm bringing that up, because they just mentioned it, that's a very, very restricted market anyhow. They don't make very many of those.
No.
It's going to run the price to the roof. Because I remember once I read an article that said that like 50% of all of the 911s go to like China.
Yeah.
Okay. And then like 40% go to America and like 10% to Germany and the rest of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, when you drive around in Europe and you try to find a 911 turbo on the highway, you don't see one.
See them.
You don't see them here.
And they said one of the big markets that's going to get double dipped is Aston Martin and McLaren, because they get a lot of parts out of China, apparently. I did not know this. So they're going to be getting tariffs out of parts from China that come out of the U.S., and they're going to be getting hit with a tariff going back into the U.S.
Well, the biggest problem we have now, let's look at SUVs.
Yeah.
Okay, the other day I happened to go to one of those Range Rover places.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea those things are $160,000, $170,000.
Oh, they're crazy now. Yeah.
They used to be like $50,000, $60,000, $70,000.
Yeah.
And they're made in England. And so they're going to get really hit hard. I mean, I don't know who in the world can afford stuff like that. It's crazy. Well,
the problem is now, too, now it goes up 25%.
Well, yeah, but now all of a sudden now your payment goes to, what, $4,000 a month?
For an SUV.
For an SUV?
It's going to drop 20 to 30% the first year.
Yeah. They have, the resale on those cars are absolutely awful. Now, the resale on the users will come up a little bit now.
It will. Now, that one thing, for the short period of time for next year or so, the used market will actually probably stabilize.
Well, that one big steel plant in Dearborn now shut down.
Yep.
Because they said they don't have any demand now for steel for the automakers, the United States automakers. I mean, they're shutting it down.
Well, like I said, it will stabilize the U.S. SUV market and stuff now.
Well, the biggest problem is, you know, SUVs, if you put a diesel engine in them, they get pretty good fuel mileage, but now they're trying to get rid of all the diesel engines.
Well, the Tahoe's got the Duramax engine, but it's been plagued with issues now the last year or two because the EPA.
Because it's been heating up too much.
The EPA getting too hot, but now apparently the EPA, they're getting massively pulled back. They're getting yoked back on all the restrictions for the next 5 to 10 years.
Well, what they've done is ridiculous because of Biden. Oh, it wasn't Biden. It was the synagogue of Satan. By the way, now it's time for our mini mental candy segment.
Mental candy. Thank you for joining us for our mental candy segment of the Ted Nostrum Brewer Show.
Bubblegum. I mean, we'll play a little song here, okay?
Big League Chew.
Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate has made the world's news again.
What do you do now?
All right. You know, they all hate Andrew Tate.
I know.
Okay? I mean, they really, really hate him. Now,
he calls a lot of stuff out, though.
Well, you know, let me just say it this way. You remember that? I forgot that one preacher's name up in New York that got busted for having an affair on his wife.
Yeah.
And then they said that the girl he was with was probably Mossad.
Yeah.
And that he was converting a lot of Jewish folks in New York City to Christianity. And they had to kind of like shut down that whole Hillsong group that he was with in New York. Just saying. Okay. Andrew Tate's girlfriend now is making shocking sexual assault allegations to him after he returns to the United
States. There you go.
Oh, by the way, her last name is Stern, like Howard Stern.
Well, no. What's funny is when, and I'm not joking on this to discount the fact that sexual assault and rape or any domestic violence is okay. I'm never advocating that.
It's not cool.
But isn't it always ironic how somebody who's doing a lot of talking to the media about the truth, I've been dating him for 2 years now, and he raped me while we were dating, but I stayed with him.
Well, no.
But now I'm alleging that he sexually assaulted me, and it's like, really?
Well, no. He did that weird thing where he was choking her or whatever, right? And now apparently it was something they routinely did, and suddenly she.
But now suddenly she's upset about
she's
it.
She's gone to the police over this.
Oh, yeah.
She's filed police reports. And you say, and by the way, don't be doing stuff like that. That's weird. Okay, don't do stuff like that.
The problem is when you start having individuals that you don't know their background with Mossad and stuff like that, and suddenly you start
her name, last name is Stern. That's a Jewish name. And it's funny how guy...
He's converted to Muslim now.
If she's Jewish, why is he dating a Jew?
Yeah, and why is she dating a Muslim?
And suddenly, why is she doing police reports of him? Now, she's one of these social media ladies, too, who loves to get social media hits and clicks. And so I'm sure this is going to get her huge, huge followings now, especially from
the Me Too group. It's going to explode.
Yeah. And so, but the reality is, I just ask you, I'm not making this allegation. Is she Mossad? Is she going into there intentionally now? Because she's been dating him for a while. He said he won't have babies with her, right? And all of a sudden now, he's this bad guy. I'm going to file sexual assault charges on him. And you think, well, did he really do it? I don't know. I don't even want to know. All I know is this. Suddenly, this guy's girlfriend, as soon as he gets into the United States, under the jurisdiction of United States laws.
Yeah.
Now he can get arrested for legit. I mean, go to jail for a minute.
Remember, he already dealt with this whole thing in Romania.
And he was locked up over there in house arrest for years.
And then they pretty much dropped all the charges now after years. Then they've been ordered to give a bunch of his cars back because they seized them. We're seizing your cars.
Remember what they did to Snowden? Remember they do all these people that come in here and do all this stuff?
You had him.
I had him. I let him go. How do you squeeze a mosquito and not die, kill him? But anyhow, so I thought that was interesting. You know, Andrew Tate's girlfriend makes shocking claims. So now, does that mean he had dumped her?
There you go. Yeah, that lets us a little bit more information.
Okay, I don't know. So then she goes to the police, goes to the hospital, the whole bit. You know, maybe he'd had enough of her. Maybe something else was going on. I don't know. Maybe she had enough of him. I don't know. You know, it's kind of like, you know, David Carradine. Remember, he's the guy who played Kung Fu. Remember him?
Yeah.
You know, he's a pretty good actor. You know, he's not going to win an Academy Award, but he's pretty good, actually. He's pretty good in Kill Bill. I'm not recommending you elect your kids Kill watch that Bill. Movie. You need to watch that one.
Soundtrack's
edited. Oh, my gosh. All right. But, you know, he got it. He was in a lot of weird stuff, you know, with the choking stuff. So he goes over to Thailand. Somebody chokes him to death.
Yeah, they found him in a closet.
They hung him in a closet, like a suit, hung him up in a closet. And so the maid comes in and finds him there, finds his corpse in there.
That's rough.
No, I mean, you know, say it ain't so, grasshopper. I mean, that's what they called him on Kung Fu. They call him grasshopper, but he's gone now. So be careful with this kind of stuff. Don't be involved in this kind of stuff, guys. And ask yourself a question. Why does Miss Stern, like, you know, Howard Stern, Miss Stern, I'm sure there's no relation between the two. Well, I don't know that. You know, it could be
well, like you said, with social media, the whole aspect of it. Speaking of social media, new article.
That was our mental candy segment.
Well, this one just comes out. This is still, I mean, it's just an idea. Social media feeds delusional thinking. New research shows shocking media feedback loops worsen delusions in people with mental health issues. They said now heavy social media use is linked to a rise in psychiatric disorders characterized by delusions, including narcissism and body dysmorphic disorder on online platforms, creating feedback loops that intensify distorted beliefs. Study came out of Simon Fraser University. And so they're talking about all these different things with paranoia, disorder, anorexia. Here's the issue. They're finding this in adult research studies. How bad is this for the children that are already trying to grow up that may have some issues from psychological stuff from growing up, and now they're on social media at 8, 9, 10, 12 years old? How bad does it amplify those problems in these young kids?
Well, here's the thing with psychiatric care and all the rest of it. You know, if a child is molested,
right?
Okay, and or has some kind of horrible trauma happen to them as a child, unless they deal with that, you know, from a psychological standpoint, not with drugs now, I'm talking about talking through and figuring out a way to sort the information, that stuff could haunt them. Then they get into social media stuff, and they start thinking, okay, they're telling us that aliens are abducting us now and putting implants in us.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got an implant in me. And so all of a sudden you start having a psychosis.
Well, here's the problem. I'm going to get into this real deep for about 1 minute, then we're going to come out of it. The psychological impact that social media is having because of artificial intelligence on human beings is immense. AI now will listen and analyze every single thing you do on social media, keystrokes, search, photos, how long you're on a certain post, how long you stay on a certain post and then click a like, how often you comment, how often you save, how often your pupils dilate on certain platforms. This is why I tell you I keep everything covered up as far as camera on the front of a thing. I don't ever turn that camera on, nor do I take the tape off that camera. People go, oh, you're being paranoid. Not being paranoid. I know because I've talked to guys that have worked with contractors with these platforms that do data collection in Utah that work with AI systems. Once you spend about an hour or two on social media and you interact with it, AI will literally be able to do predictive analyzation and think and look and analyze everything you do, everywhere you go, every person you talk to, everything you like, everything that makes you mad, everything that turns you on, every aspect of how you think. It will do full analyzing on it. Then it will start predicting things that it wants you to look at, that it thinks you're going to like, that it thinks are going to arouse you. And it will start building profiles around what you do, what you like, where you want to go, who you want to be around. And then here's the next part. If they want to use that, just saying this, not being weird, just saying if an individual in these platforms want to use that, they can start directly making things in those systems that make you want to start going for it more, making you have different thoughts.
Well, what they can also do, too, let's say you think you have an alien implant.
Right.
Now, every time you go to your phone and you have the camera turned on, so it automatically unlocks for you.
Yep.
Okay, which they make it real simple to do that now.
All of a sudden you get a
Oh, I've got an alien implant.
Right.
All of a sudden, you start getting articles on alien implants.
And you start getting articles on alien implants.
By the way, alien abduction and alien implants, a lot of that stuff is real. Just saying.
But you just use it for analogy.
Not all of it.
Just use it for analogy.
But the reality that all of a sudden you go, I got to get this implant out.
Right.
And you may do anything you have to get the implant out because now you have some psychoses going on.
You have called a negative feedback loop. So what happens is every time you go on social media starts reinforcing psychologically that you have an alien implant. Again, we're using this as an example. You can use it with any other thing. You can use it with, oh, I have cancer. Oh, now I think I have cancer because every time you open up your social media, there's cancer wellness center. There's cancer treatment center. Do you have cancer? Talk to your doctor. Oh, here's different drugs for cancer. After about a few weeks of that, if you're already having a psychological condition, you will be convinced that you have cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It happens with anything. Understand what these platforms are doing to direct your behavior, your thoughts, your processes, and your actions. Just something I want to put out.
Well, no, and it's very, very real. It really is. That's why Austin's talking about it. He's right. You know, this is how social media feeds delusional thinking. You know, it's, and of course, sometimes it's not delusional.
Right.
Sometimes you may really be getting monitored by the government. Now all of a sudden, oh, everything's the government monitoring us. Oh, by the way, submarine disaster. A tourist submarine sinks off the Egyptian coast with at least six confirmed dead. It had 44 passengers. Most are basically recovered and are fine. I did this one time. I think you were with me. Well, didn't we do that in the Cayman Islands one time? We go down in a submarine, yeah, down 100 feet or so. And, you know, you don't really think about it, but, you know, this is a, you know, like a hotel-run submarine. You're thinking to yourself, well, I hope they're
hotel-run
submarine. Well, no, this one was registered to a hotel.
Okay.
And so there are only a few of these types of submarines in the world.
Well, no, go down a pressurized capsule underwater.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I don't think, unless you scuba dive or you're free dive or you operate underwater, you know, depths, you don't understand how dangerous water is in pressure.
Well, no, I remember. But, I mean, we went to that shelf, and we went down the shelf to about, I forgot how many hundred feet we went down. It wasn't very deep. Well, it's still 100 feet down. And if you're coming back up with a set of scuba tanks and you're coming up real slow, it takes a minute to swim up 100 feet.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to come up in sections.
And all of a sudden, you're like, okay, I'm going, and I'm going, and I'm going.
You don't want to get the bends.
You have to exhale continually at all times. And you make sure if you're down there too long, you have to stop. You're right. And you have to let decompress for a minute.
Decompression chambers. I have not had to use one, but I heard they suck. They are not fun.
That'd be really pretty confined.
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember that one dive that I was on. It was down in the island somewhere. I can't remember. It was pretty creepy where there's a wreck dive, and we were going over, and it was right off the shelf of over there where it drops off. You know, the Bahamas had that one spot that drops off pretty deep. And I mean, we're swimming out to it, and you can see it, and it starts sloping down, and then it just goes in a black hole. I mean, black. You're already down about 100, 120 feet, and we're starting to swim over it. We're getting over the shelf, and I mean, it's just darkness. I'm talking pure, utter darkness.
Bum, bum,
and I mean, I'm sitting there, and I'm looking up. The boat's about 120 feet above me. It's got its tie cable down the anchor, and I'm like looking down. Air's getting low. It's time to get up now.
it doesn't take long. It really doesn't. So it's interesting real quick. Oh, by the way, gun rights, according to NRA legislative experts, says that gun rights could have a massive, massive monumental win in Congress, the biggest since 2005. I'm really happy about that. Congress advanced two bills this week aimed at expanding the rights of law-abiding gun owning citizens. One of them, according to the legislative expert from the National Rifle Association, would mark the most monumental win for Second Amendment rights in more than 20 years. H.R. 38, Constitutional Concealed Reciprocity Act, and the Firearm Due Process Protection Act were debated and passed out of committee on Tuesday. This is the bill's first step right now, and it basically says that it said nationwide reciprocity for concealed carry permits, which means every state.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Would allow law-abiding gun owners permit in one state to carry in another state that also permits concealed carry, but may not have reciprocity. The right of self-defense shouldn't end because you go across the state line, said John Comerton. But this is, by the way, a really big deal. While more than half of the nation's states have reciprocity laws, H.R. 38 would allow people with concealed carry permits in gun-friendly states to conceal firearms in places like Los Angeles, New York City, and Chicago. Think about that. That's a big deal.
Remember, so these are going to override state laws.
Oh, yeah. Remember that? I forgot that one athlete who went into New York.
Yes.
I forgot his name. And he was carrying a gun, came in on a private jet. He went to the police precinct district, yep, to turn the gun in because he knew he wasn't having it. Man, he arrested him on the spot.
Carrying a weapon. Unlawful possession of unregistered firearm.
And he was trying to turn it in for while I was in town.
You know, the thing I think is best to just do with that, especially if you have private jets with that, if they guys were going in, is just leave it on the plane.
Yeah.
Leave it on the plane with the pilot locked up. And don't mess around as far as, because some of these states are saying, this is a pretty sad but pretty strange, but we're going to watch how this goes now. Supreme Court failed this week. Supreme Court is upholding the Biden-era ghost gun rule.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, this is a big deal. Supreme Court yesterday upheld the Biden administration rule that regulates unserialized firearms called ghost guns. The high court ruled 7-2 in the finding that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, not consistent
tell us how you really
with federal firearms laws. They said they are permitting the ATF to regulate weapon parts, kits, and unfinished frames as receivers, referencing the Gun Control Act of 1968. Case for Supreme Court did not involve the Second Amendment, but where the ATF went too far, it issued the ruling subjecting ghost guns to the same requirements as commercial firearms. It follows a decision from the High Court last year that struck down the measure. This is a big deal. This is going in with 80% receivers.
Okay, so basically what they're saying is that if a gun doesn't have the proper serial number on it, it's not registered properly, it's a ghost gun, and it has to be what now? What are they saying is going to have to happen to it?
It's a felony.
So you can't even own one.
No, so basically you have to register it. So you
how do you register without a serial number?
You've got to register with ATF. You've got to make it as a manufacturer. So you got to get basically an SOT2 or an FFL. There's a couple different forms where you can make you own your receiver. So what happens is everybody, you got 80% receivers. They're 80% AR receivers you can buy online. They're blocks of aluminum. They're milled out except for the final 80%. You could go in and mill these final firearms out, make your own lower receiver for your AR-15, and you had your firearm that didn't have a serial number on it. So this the problem with this now, so you don't really know where this is going to go, because essentially the Supreme Court is just ruling that ATF is right, which I can't believe they're actually siding with ATF on this. So ATF now is going to have the carte blanche immunity to do whatever they want with ghost guns, essentially make them either felonies, do whatever they want if you get caught with one now. This is a big deal. So the Supreme Court's not ruling what's going to happen with them. They're ruling that the ATF was right in saying that unregistered serialized ghost guns are essentially not okay.
So if you decide to make your own weapon,
correct,
now you have to get a registered with ATF as unregistered.
Serial number. You got to register as a serial number, which is also going to make you a registered manufacturer.
Well, how do you register a gun without a serial number with a serial number?
You've got to register it before you manufacture it. So you have to basically get a serial number for it, get it approved, and then finally fill out the final manufacturing
process. Guys in Montana are going to hate this.
Guys in Montana are going to listen to this crap.
Well, I don't know.
No, let's be real. No, come on. No,
you need to listen to it. This is a felony. I mean, we got to do a disclaimer.
I'm not giving you laws, and I'm not giving you ideas, nor am I giving you law, giving you law advice. Don't listen to me for law advice.
By the way, secret CIA files claim the Ark of the Covenant has been found. Daily Mail.
Now, you know, CIA said this.
They said it's in Ethiopia. Now that's been a rumor that's been around for a long, long time. That's in an Ethiopian church, because remember the Ethiopian Bible still has the Book of Enoch in it.
Yeah,
just thought I'd mention that. And they never took
how
it out.
In the world the Ark of the Covenant? I don't know if I believe. You know the CIA, how much disinformation they put out.
The location of the chest is believed to contain the Ten Commandments has been a mystery, but CIA documents claims the Ark of the Covenant has been found. According to the Bible, the Ark of the Covenant was built by the Israelites shortly after they fled Egypt around the 13th century B.C. That's going to be an old Ark of the Covenant. Moses then placed the Ten Commandments inside. The CIA conducted experiments in the 1980s with individuals who claimed they could perceive information about distant objects. This is that distance traveling they like to do. The report details one of these tests, where remote viewer number 032 was given coordinates to locate a target, and they described the Ark of the Covenant as hiding in the Middle East. Some believe the Ark of the Covenant was really kept inside of the Holy Church. So it's going to be interesting if this is actually true. And it'd be kind of neat to see it, though, from an artifact standpoint, because, I mean, we're under a new covenant now with Jesus, but the old covenant and the Ark of the Covenant would be something interesting. They did that first Indiana Jones movie.
I was just about to say, that was interesting. Where they open up the Ten Commandments to turn to powder.
Yep, and but there were other things that they didn't expect, too. The report details one of these targets, a remote viewer. Some historians believe the Ark of the Covenant was really kept inside the Holy of Holies. That's what the Bible does say. In the innermost chamber of the ancient temple in Jerusalem before it had disappeared during the Babylonian sack of Jerusalem in 586 B.C. There's also a legend the artifact was taken to Ethiopia and now resides in a local church. That's what I had heard before also. Evidence that the chest existed has yet to be found, but the CIA document declassified in 2000 claims it was discovered in 1988. The target is a container. The container has another container inside of it, the document states. The target is fashioned of wood, gold, and silver, and it is decorated with a six-winged angel. The remote viewer contributed to say the coffin-shaped object is located somewhere in the Middle East, and they saw the people in the area speaking Arabic. So, in other words, they have no idea where it is. This is a remote viewer, and this story is probably mental candy and fluff.
Yeah, I was about to say,
I'm glad I read the rest of it.
Yeah. And also other news, lycopene. This is a product that's very expensive for high quality.
Oh, lycopene. We have this on our eyesight
formula. We have this on our eyesight.
That eyesight formula really works.
Eyesight is what the primary goal of lycopene. We added this in here for, because we researched it years ago, and lycopene is incredibly beneficial. It's an antioxidant-rich plant food. It's primarily found in tomatoes. The problem is, eating constant high doses of red tomatoes can cause inflammatory problems.
They're nightshade vegetables.
Right, but lycopene is a huge benefit out of them. You got to eat a lot of them to get it. Kind of like the aspect of drinking alcohol to get resveratrol.
You're like wine.
Drink wine. Yeah, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, because the amount of red wine you have to drink to get the resveratrol counteracts it. Well, that's why we have the resveratrol formula. Well, lycopene, they're saying, can be a natural antidepressant. Within just a few grams, this research has examined lycopene, the natural antioxidant from carotenoid found family found in red and pink fruits like tomatoes and guava, can help treat depression. Also links to lower antioxidant levels with anxiety and depression as far as with mental health. Chronic stress can also overactivate the HPA axis, which can cause more issues with antioxidant. This cross-sectional study published in the Journal of Affective Disorder found that higher levels of lycopene were linked to lower risk of depression, analyzing 7,000 adults. Now, it's interesting. It goes in here like pumpkins. You know, 100 gram serving of pumpkins can have 0.38 to 0.4 milligrams. You know, pink grapefruit can have 0.3 to 3 milligrams.
I love pink grapefruit. Really high.
Then talks about tomatoes and other things. So lycopene is essentially not really found in a lot of supplements because it's so expensive. However, at Health Masters, we have the EyeSight formula. And in our formula, one dose of it contains 6 milligrams of lycopene. That's one dosage of it, meaning you got to eat an enormously large amount of either grapefruit or tomatoes to even get one dose of lycopene. But that's what we added: quercetin, alpha lipoic, N-acetylcysteine, bilberry, lutein.
This is a fantastic
product. This is a really, really strong product. That's why basically it's in here in such high doses. So be sure to check this out if you want to use it for EyeSight formula, but also it may be a good stack to throw in if you're wanting to look at EyeSight and also mental health.
Well, you know, EyeSight, I take that stuff on a regular basis. And I tell you what, I have been able to read a lot better, you know, as far as without reading glasses now, as I sit here with my reading glasses on, right? But what I've learned is that as long as I've got light now, I'm pretty good with anything to read.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I wear this a lot of times on the set is because, you know, I want to make sure I'm reading something properly and I don't want to jump around on words. But I can read pretty much a menu now in a restaurant as long as I have sufficient lighting. And I couldn't do that before I started taking this product.
I know. I remember years ago we were doing something. We were at some restaurant. He's like, I can't read the menu. You pull out doggone flashlight on your phone.
It worked.
And then we're talking to you, and you're holding the phone light up to us while we're talking to you. I'm like, dude, stop.
That was awful.
I'm trying to read it. I'm like, put your phone down.
And I could read it.
No, you could.
You know,
it was a dark restaurant, though.
Yeah, if you give me a newspaper, I can read it outside in the sunlight.
Yeah.
Easily. But it's just that I don't have the ability now in dark light to see like I used to. But I still have great vision. I got pilot eyes. Every time I take my pilot exam, I pass everything without having to use reading glasses, without having to use long distance glasses. But I still like to wear my glasses to read with because it creates less eye strain, especially as much as I have to do with the computers as far as setting up for the shows every single day. What's your next story?
No, you're exactly right on that. And that's why when we put together a lot of these supplements, we put together the highest quality nutrients. And I had a person the other day I was talking to, and they asked me, they said, well, what separates your supplements from other companies? I said, well, that's a great idea. That's a great question.
Yeah.
I said, one of the primary reasons is, A, we try to source everything we can in the United States and or Europe. I try to not get any raw nutrients from China, which that's about 99% of the vitamin industry. Not only gets their raws from China, they get a lot of their compounds completely already made. There's manufacturers that I know, and I've talked to them, they'll sit there and say, we can order this batch of raws already mixed, put together in your formula right out of China for super cheap. I mean, you're paying $1 to $2 a bottle for mixed formulas. And I'm like, how are you possibly getting that kind of raw, you know, in basically kilo increments in that price range? That doesn't make any sense to me. Well, then when you ask them, I need a third-party testing and an assay testing then when you get the raws in. We don't do that here. We'll just batch it for you and basically put it in a can and you can have it. I said, if you're not going to give me a third-party assay testing, a heavy metal testing, and basically a complete analysis of the ingredients, I have no interest in working for you.
All of our products have the Health Masters label, and we test them all for heavy metals, by the way.
Yep, and then they have to go through quality control, and then they got to do assay testing to make sure all the ingredients are up to par with dosages as well. That's why our formulas work. And with Team Health Masters, you need to get a hold of us. We answer our phones still. If you call us, if you need anything, we're here, and we answer our emails. This is a lot of industry standards now that are becoming less and less.
Well, they become obsolete. They're gone. They don't do it.
Well, no, there's a lot of companies now. You try to get a hold of them, you can't call them. Send us an email, we'll get back to you in 48 to 72 hours. Then sometimes you get a call back, sometimes you get an email back, sometimes you don't get anything back. So again, we thank you for your support here at Health Masters. Thank you for making us your number one supplement company. And if you need anything, you know where to get a hold of us and check out the different products and sales we got on right now on the front webpage, including the 3-packs and also too, the 6-pack of the 5-5, get one on that together.
Oh, wow. Oh, by the way, Biden and Obama did a lot of damage. A third of all D.C. district judges were not born in the United States.
There you go.
I'm going to repeat that. A third of all D.C. district judges were not born in the United States of
now
America.
Now we know what's going on with a lot of us. I wonder where they were born.
Well, no, they're not all Israeli.
I didn't say that.
I didn't say that. I'm just letting you know that.
I didn't say that. I just wonder.
Some of them have never had any responsibility and have never been a judge in their entire life. They're district court judges. That was under Biden.
Energy morning kit. You want to get rolling after you're not feeling good? Throw that together. It got me rolling pretty good.
Got me sweating.
You're like, oh, man.
Better not be sick.
Have a good one, my friends.
Love you
guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow.